With summer closing in, I am so ready to ditch my cold weather clothes and say hello to shorts and tees. But I don't want to just buy what's trendy. I want to update timeless, high-quality summer pieces that I can utilize for all seasons and years to come without spending a fortune. And now I've got a lineup of beautiful clothes from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30. I'm talking about, babe.
There's washable silk tops, 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. It's actually because they partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. I actually just ordered their linen shorts, tops, and pants that I plan to wear for this summer because they're lightweight, and I'm so excited to get them and start planning my Quince capsule wardrobe for my summer travels. Honestly, I have so much Quince clothing, and I love it all.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. .com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/husband.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
Oh, man. We had some awesome art come in by one of our listeners this week. I don't know if you guys saw it. I posted it on our Instagram. She's a graphic designer and she's super talented. And she listened to the podcast and felt inspired and made us a little, I don't know, like what you could call it. Like it's so awesome. Yeah, a cover art. Her name's Autumn Jerez on Instagram. And so, yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to her. Thank you so much. It was like a surreal feeling to get that. I couldn't believe that you could be inspired to do something by our podcast. And so it was just awesome.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool. We've been getting some just awesome DMs from all of you guys.
Even our reviews. Like, I get on and read our reviews, and everyone's just so nice. And it just makes, like, us feel so good. I, like, don't even know what to say. I feel like I'm so bad at expressing how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I read them, and it just, I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're so nice.
You're like,
I'm,
like, people like us.
yeah, we're recording at a different time today. It feels weird. It's early, and I feel like it's a little weird. Do you?
Yeah, well, because we're doing it on today's Thursday.
Yeah, today's Thursday morning.
Instead of a Sunday.
Yeah, we always record on Sunday, so it's a little funky. So if things are weird, that's why. Okay, so this story was sent in to us by Kiana Allred. I really hope I didn't slaughter your name, but that's how I think it is. And if I did, please DM me. Tell me how to say it properly, and I'll correct myself.
Was this an email or a DM?
It was a DM.
Oh, okay.
This is the story of Ryan Poston and Shayna Hubers. Some of you may know this story. Garrett definitely does not.
Nope.
I'm going to list our sources. I had reddit.com, truecasefiles.com, cincinnati.com, lawandcrime.com. And then there was also a two-part series on 48 hours on this, and it was amazing. So check that out.
And I know I always say it, but we've been getting a lot of new listeners. So I just wanted to remind everyone or tell everyone that is new listening, that I've never heard these stories before. Everything's completely new to me. So everything's just my reaction.
Yeah. And if you are new, thank you for listening to one of our latest episodes instead of judging us on our earlier episodes. But do go check those out after.
Because sometimes I feel bad because I don't know how good our first four episodes are.
Yeah. For our homies who have stuck with us through those first four episodes, you are the true OG Murder with My Husband listeners. Okay. So in 2012, Ryan Poston was working as an attorney in Fort Mitchell, Kentucky. He was 29 years old, had three younger sisters, and admired his dad, stepdad, and mom. Family meant a lot to him. He was good-looking, kind, smart, very successful. Obviously, he's a lawyer. Shayna Hubers was only 21 at the time. She was a recent graduate of University of Kentucky. She too was beautiful, smart, graduated in 3 years, and was going on to get her master's. She studied psychology, which I think is ironic in this story. So Shayna and Ryan met on Facebook in the spring of 2011. Garrett and I actually met on Instagram, and I know that sounds so cliche, but it's a crazy story, and we'll have to tell you guys it one time, maybe in a different type setting or something like that. But
now that I look back, knowing how much Peyton likes murder, I'm surprised you didn't think I was going to kill you.
I'm surprised I went on a date with you.
I know. Well, even our first date.
No, I know. That's what I mean. Our first date, Garrett took me up in the mountains. I had no cell service, and I hadn't even looked at his profile. Like I said, it's a long story of how we actually ended up on the date. It wasn't a typical Instagram DM situation. And I went up without even knowing what he looks like. He just came to my door, and I was like, first time looking at him. I was like, hey, let's go.
I know. That's crazy. We'll have to tell the story sometime soon.
Okay. So everyone makes a big deal in a lot of the shows I was watching on this that Ryan came across Shayna's provocative pictures on Facebook, and so they had to start dating because he saw them. But at least the pictures that I was shown from what he saw on Facebook, it was just Shayna standing at the beach, like standing in her swimming suit at the beach.
Oh.
Just in a picture. Like, it wasn't like she was like, I don't like the word provocative, but like, it wasn't like she was posing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I was just annoyed by that sentence, and on almost every source said it. And I was just like,
because it was almost like the sources were looking at her in a provocative way.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay, whatever. And maybe there were more provocative pictures and they just didn't show them. And so that could have been, but from what I saw, it was just her in her swimming suit. And I'm like, that's not very provocative, but whatever. So they start dating in the spring of 2011. And like I mentioned, this is a good looking couple. He's very successful. She was very successful at school. She was going on to get her master's. Both of them very cute. Uh-huh. Friends and family claim, though, that from the start of their relationship, it was very, very toxic. It was on and off again, breaking up and getting back together. By 2012, Ryan and Shayna had been going at this continued toxic cycle for almost a year and a half. Throughout all of this turmoil, friends and family who knew the couple say that Shayna was obsessed with Ryan. She would show up at his home unannounced and then refuse to leave. She actually Googled how to pick a lock with a bobby pin because Ryan would lock her out of his home. And so she was like trying to find ways to get in. Text messages and phone logs prove that Ryan had actually attempted to end this relationship for good many, many times. Mm-hmm. But when Ryan would try to break up with Shayna, she would call him or text him hundreds of times. And I'm not lying that the logs prove it. She would not let him break up with her. Nope, we're done. And she's like, no, we're not. And show up at his house.
That's crazy. Did he ever get any sort of restraining order or anything?
Yeah. So apparently, especially because he's a lawyer, right? So that question's asked a lot. Apparently in...
It's kind of funny. I think people sometimes are going to think this is scripted, but I feel like I'm just getting more used to
asking the right questions. Yeah. I guess in Kentucky law, you have to either live with someone or have been or be married to someone to get a restraining order. And these two didn't live together.
Okay.
Which that law is just weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, I go to a McDonald's and I order and this random guy falls in love with me and he becomes obsessed with me and I can't get a restraining order over him because I didn't know him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, totally.
So I just, if someone knows the reasoning behind that, because there might be like a, well, they don't want to just be handing them out. You know, there might be a reason behind it. But so if you do know, let us know. So Ryan, when all this would happen, he would eventually, after she had texted him hundreds of times, he would eventually text her that she needs to stop calling and texting him and showing up randomly, but she obviously wouldn't.
Did he never just block her number?
No. So I'll get to that.
Okay.
So Ryan texted his cousin during their relationship and said, "This is getting to be restraining order level crazy. She's shown up at my condo like 3 times and refuses to leave each time." He also wrote a friend on Facebook and said, "She's literally the craziest effing person I have ever met. She almost scares me."
Wow. Oh.
Back to what you just asked. The confusing part about this relationship was the stalking and obsession was bad. Obviously, we have proof of that. But he would always end up getting back together with her. It was on and off again. So no one in interviews could really give a solid reason why, other than that maybe she was just so hard to break up with because she would just stay and text, that it was easier to just stay with her than to deal with the aftermath of the breakup.
It kind of sounds like your typical, you know, high school relationship, breakup, get back together.
Yeah. But I mean, he's telling people she's crazy. She scares me. She calls me. I've had to, you know, like lock my doors on her. I've had to throw her out of my house. But then he gets back together with her. In a text to one of her friends, Shayna said that Ryan was only with her because she made him feel so bad when she would cry about it when they'd break up.
Jeez. Okay. And what year are we in again?
2012.
Okay.
Their relationship started in 2011.
Okay. So social media wasn't the, well, Facebook was a thing, but Instagram
wasn't, it wasn't the huge.
Biggest thing yet.
On October 11th, 2012, Ryan and Shayna were supposedly back together for the night and had dinner at Ryan's parents' house and then went back to Ryan's house to spend the night. They had a fight that night, and Ryan once again claimed that it was over for good between the two, broke up with her. The next day, Ryan told coworkers at work that he had a date that night with Miss Ohio 2012, and he couldn't be more excited.
Okay.
And every source makes a huge deal that he's going on a date with, and she's beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, every source like makes this just such a big deal.
Big deal. Okay.
Ryan went home that night to get ready for his date with the Miss America competitor when Shayna showed up unannounced again at his house.
Oh my gosh.
A while later, a 911 operator gets a call from a woman who claims that she had just killed her boyfriend in self-defense. Shayna Hubers was on the other end of that call, crying and explaining to the operator what happened.
And his date is with him as well?
No, he didn't ever make it on the date.
Okay.
He was supposed to be going on the date with her. He was getting ready, and Shayna showed up again. And the night before, they had just broken up again.
Yeah.
Now, if you have never heard, I would highly suggest that you go listen to this 911 call because it becomes very important later in the case. Shayna claims on the call that Ryan was pushing her around the house, banging her into shelves and doors. Shayna claims that in the middle of this violent argument, Ryan had grabbed one of his many guns that he had laying around his home.
Domestic violence is one of those things that is pretty crazy because you have two people who quote unquote love each other and emotions get so heated.
Yeah.
It's just, well, it's so difficult.
I always say that the people I will hurt most in my life are most likely the people I love. Mm-hmm. You don't care enough about strangers to hurt them that bad. That's why it's so weird when people kill strangers.
Yeah.
But you know, I will probably hurt you more in my life than I hurt most other people because I love you. And so I love you the most. And so emotions are high. Okay, right.
Well, you heard that here. You heard that here first. Peyton's probably going to kill me. So
no, don't say that.
Just a heads up to anyone listening.
I would
listening.
Never kill you. I'm just saying what no, I'm know. Reiterating what you're saying, that emotions are highest yes. with people that we love.
Yeah.
So scared for her life when he grabbed one of the guns in the middle of their argument. Well, in the middle of him beating her up, essentially, is what she's saying. Shayna tells the 911 operator that she grabbed the gun out of Ryan's hands and shot him. When the operator asks, okay, how long ago was he shot? Because the operator's not trying to see if she's guilty or not. The operator's trying to see if they can save Ryan's life.
Yeah.
Shayna says, oh, I don't know, about 10 or 15 minutes ago. Not even that long.
It's a weird answer.
If you know anything about 911 calls, shooting someone and then waiting 10 to 15 minutes to call 911 is actually a very long time.
Yeah.
It's long enough to let someone completely die before an ambulance can get there and save them.
It's so interesting. That happened in another case we just did.
Shayna had actually shot Ryan 6 times.
Oh my gosh.
Fast forward. We're now at the police station. Cops showed up, took her in, took her to the station. Investigators take Shayna in to be interviewed into a room. This immediate interview, or at least portions of it, is accessible to the public. And I would suggest very highly that you watch if you never have watched this interview. This interview is what makes this case. I believe that without it, I don't think very many people except maybe locals would know about this story. Now, it's important that I tell you that Shayna's behavior, mannerisms, and all-around vibe during this interview is off. She, you know, for just shooting her boyfriend because she was scared for her life because he was beating her up, everything in this interview is weird.
All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy. And even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about, I don't feel like I have all this trauma, you don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order, and that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
Okay, if you're like me, you probably care about eating healthy. I feel like we've all tried a million different ways to do that, but
McDonald's. Nah, just kidding.
But honestly, it became a no-brainer when I got my first Hungry Root delivery, and I have to tell you, I ordered Hungry Root.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then a week later, they reached out wanting to be a sponsor of the show. And I was like, good to go, because I already went on and ordered Hungry Root.
We seriously loved it. Before we were even sponsored and Peyton ordered it just because she wanted to try it, it was so cool. Like, it came in this box. There's all these different foods and they're healthy. They're good for you. There's snacks, stuff to make dinner recipes. It was amazing. The very first night we got it, we made our dinner and we both loved it.
Well, and it's really easy. You actually just take a short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations. So honestly, I can just go and pick a recipe, boom, puts all of it in my cart. It's crazy.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
So right now, Hungry Root is offering Murder With My Husband listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/husband to get 40% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/husband. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you. All right, you guys, Audible is your one-stop app for all things audio entertainment, from bestsellers and the latest releases to celebrity memoirs and gripping mysteries. Audible's library is brimming with countless genres to love and new discoveries to make. Dive into an unparalleled selection of audiobooks and explore exclusive Audible originals brought to life by top celebrities, renowned experts, and fresh voices.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Plus, you can enjoy unlimited access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts such as Murder With My Husband.
Honestly, I love Audible because I will get into a story while I'm cleaning or driving. Sometimes I get so hooked listening to a story, I just end up finding new places to clean or just end up sitting in my car, which drives Garrett nuts, but I'm out there sitting there.
New members can explore Audible free for 30 days. Also, this March through May, let Audible sweep you into a realm of intrigue and suspense with their mystery and thriller collection, featuring exclusive new thrillers from their best-selling authors. Their selection is designed to captivate and surprise, ensuring your heart rate remains as elevated as your imagination.
New members can try Audible for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500. That's audible.com/MWMH or text MWMH to 500-500.
Now, I won't judge people on how they grieve because we never know until we are in that situation how we would handle it. But this is one of the most bizarre adult interviews I have ever watched. As soon as police sit down with Shayna, she immediately asks for a lawyer, which is smart. Well, she doesn't say, I want a lawyer. She's like, I'm obviously going to want a lawyer, right?
Okay.
And they're like, okay, yeah. The cop tells her, that's fine, but we won't be able to ask you any more questions until your lawyer gets here, okay? And she says, okay. But then she just immediately keeps talking. She's like, well, it was self-defense. He was horrible to me. I just shot him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they just sit there like, okay, well, are we getting her a lawyer or not? But she just keeps talking.
Yeah.
The very first sign that something was very, very wrong. And I mean, when I watched this part, it was like a movie. The cop says, okay, just stay here. I have to leave the room for a second. And Shayna's like, okay. And the cop stands up to start leaving. And she starts making this sound like a wail or a sob or a cry. And her face is like in the Kim Kardashian cry face, like just super dramatic. Just like you would think someone was chopping her arm off.
Like fake? Like she's faking it?
Well, no. We don't know. But it's very over the top. She was totally fine just talking to the cop. And then as soon as he gets up to say he's going to leave, she's like, okay. And then just starts wailing. And like her shoulders and her chest are heaving like she's crying, like she's starting to cry or like have a panic, like something's wrong.
Like realize what she just did?
I don't know. But the guy who's interviewing her has already kind of got up and turned to leave the room. And he kind of says, he doesn't turn completely around, but he says, you're going to be fine. And she's like, you know, she's heaving. And then he opens the door. And as soon as the door in the room closes and he's out of that room, she just literally completely stops and just starts picking her nails.
Like she had no idea that you could see into the room?
No. She didn't know that it was being recorded from the top of the corner of the room. But she's seriously like, and then as soon as the door closes, she just stops and just starts playing with her nails. Like her face literally goes from Kim Kardashian to normal in a split second.
That's crazy.
As soon as the door closes. And so she's obviously acting. Like everyone is like, oh. It was so weird because most of the time you don't see that in adult interviews.
I mean, again, it's just a pattern of what we see in all these cases. Mm-hmm. They freak out and then they're just like, oh yeah, I'm fine.
And yeah, it's so weird. It always confuses me when people don't know that they're being recorded in the top corner of these rooms because they're always on. There's always a video camera for everyone's safety. You know, they might bring one down and record their face like if they're recording an interrogation, but there's always a security camera. And
even in every TV show you ever watch,
there's always a security camera. And the best part is that every other investigator that's on this case or that has any interest in it is watching that live feed. They're watching the security camera's live feed in another room.
Yeah.
And so everyone that's watching was like, holy crap. Like, did you guys just see that? Like, she just completely turned off her emotion as soon as he walked out of the room. It was so
That is so weird.
So they take a minute. The cops take a minute to start the actual interview. And during this time, Shayna tries to talk to anybody who will listen. Literally anybody who comes in the room, even if it's the janitor, she just tries to talk to them. Like she can't shut up.
Yeah.
And she asks one officer how he got his teeth so white. And it's not like, oh, I'm sad, I need to take my mind off it. Like, hey, I noticed your teeth are really white. What do you use? It's just like, hey, your teeth are so white. It's like casual conversation, like they're standing in line together at Target.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
She asks another cop, you know, if I go to jail, do they let me shower there or will I just get like really dirty?
What?
And the cop's like, okay. So when officers leave the room empty, this is when Shayna's most bizarre behavior during this interview happens. And chilling to witness.
And you can see this on all the cameras still?
Yeah. And you can go look it up now. I watched all of the footage.
That's so freaky.
So when no one's in the room, I don't think she realizes that she's being recorded. She walks around the tiny room. It's like the size of this room. It's just an interrogation room. She walks around it aimlessly, singing, snapping her fingers, dancing. She literally does some pirouettes while she's humming. She sings Amazing Grace. And I was actually kind of bummed out because she has a really good voice.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, why didn't I get a good voice? I just want to be a singer so bad.
That's true. Peyton and I, for those who don't know, we cannot sing.
Oh, but we try.
We do try.
We try so hard. Every time we're in the car, we try so hard.
I think we've mentioned it before that we can't sing, but we really can't sing.
And we both want to sing. I said if I had a genie, one of my wishes would be that I could sing. Ready to sing. Literally. That's how bad I want to sing. So I was just annoyed that Shayna Crazy Pants got a good voice and I didn't. At one point, she gleefully, and yes, I mean gleefully, says out loud to herself, I did it. Yes, I did it. I shot him. I did it.
Oh my gosh. No way.
And she's like dancing while she's saying it. She's like, I did it.
You know what kind of came to my head?
What?
Like Dora the Explorer.
We did it.
Yeah. It's the first thing that popped in my head. Dun, 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 yeah, exactly.
Okay, fine. We'll do a musical number for you guys.
That's crazy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So does that count as a confession?
Well, she called and said she shot him. Oh, remember? Sorry, I got confused. No, but
out of self-defense is what I'm saying.
They use this whole interview against her in trial.
Okay.
This whole weird, they use all of this. This is why I'm saying if this interview didn't exist, she just actually sat and waited for a lawyer. I don't know if the outcome of this whole case would be the same.
Got it.
At this point, police are having to take shifts to go in there because she won't shut up and is talking their ears off about stupid stuff. And so they're getting exhausted. So they're taking like 5-minute shifts each to go in and watch her. Finally, when the interview actually starts, Shayna goes off about the history of abuse that she had faced from Ryan. She claims that she feared for her life. The damning part of this interview was when Shayna was explaining the actual incident, and she claims that she picked up the gun off of the table in the middle of them fighting. Remember that she told the 911 operator that she wrestled the gun out of his hands. So she changes her story about how she got the gun.
Everyone always changes the story.
Officers obviously don't say anything. They just keep letting, you know, her talk. This is more just like, okay, this is a confessional for her and we're just going to use everything against her. We're not actually going to interrogate her at this point. So I'm going to read some of what was in this police interview video. Shayna says, and he was lying with his face on the table, like twitching. And so I knew he was going to die. And when I walked around the table, I think that's where I shot him in the head. I shot him probably like 6 times. I shot him in the head. He fell onto the ground. He was like laying there like this. And then she gets down onto the floor in like a weird position. His glasses were still on and he was like twitching some more. And so I shot him a couple more times just to make sure that he was dead because I just didn't want to watch him die. Not, oh, because I didn't want him to suffer.
Oh,
it was, I didn't want to go through that. So you just,
this was word for word what she said.
Word for word what she said. I just read word for word what she said.
Oh, that's mind blowing.
She says, then later she says to a lady officer, I knew that he was going to die and have a completely deformed face. And he's kind of very vain. And he wanted to get a nose job. He's just that kind of person. And so I shot him right here. And she points at the nose. And then she kind of laughs, but she like has to stifle the laugh. And she goes, I gave him the nose job he always wanted.
Oh my gosh, she's crazy.
Yeah.
She's legit but crazy.
She turns her laugh like she chuckles. And then she kind of turns it into a cry. Like she's like, I gave him the nose job he always wanted.
Okay, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I have definitely learned as I've gotten older that fast fashion is just not it. High quality, versatile items that will last a lifetime are the only way to go. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I have their silk skirt. It's washable. It's literally one of my favorites, and I wear it all the time. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/husband.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I, no joke, I've had this question I think about all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So, I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part. And Peyton has always wanted to learn a language, so she's actually started using Babbel, and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico, and I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled babbel.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So has she always been like, did anyone ever suspect that she would do something like this?
Well, not that they put on the interviews. Everyone was like, no, she was very dramatic. She was intense. Like people said she was into, you know, theater at school and she was into drama and she was always dramatic about her high school boyfriends, but never like, oh, she was going to kill somebody.
I just think it's crazy. You can go from, how you can just kill someone like that. I don't even know.
And then be laughing about it. And walking around aimlessly singing Amazing Grace and acting like Dora the Explorer.
I was thinking, you know, shooting someone 2 or 3 times, I know, right? Makes more sense. But shooting someone 6 times after they're on the floor, already shot in the head.
Shot him in his nose.
That's just...
So that's the weird part is it's like if it's self-defense. So, okay, either was 2 shots, then a break, then 4 shots, or 4 shots, then a break, and then 2 shots. That's what the neighbor said.
Okay.
And so she either went bang, bang, walked over to him on the floor and went bang, 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 bang into his head. Or she went bang, 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 walked over to him, 2 final shots into his head. Either way, she shoots him. She's no longer in danger. He's on the ground and she walks over and finishes the job.
That's crazy.
Police end up arresting Shayna for murder after the 2.5-hour interrogation. Upon investigating further into Shayna and Ryan's lives, the most incriminating evidence of all was the text messages that was shared between the two. The cops said there was hundreds of thousands of text messages between the two from 2011 to 2012.
Wow.
Police say for every text that Ryan sent, there was probably 50 on Shayna's side. So one text for Ryan was 50 to Shayna. So much back and forth of Ryan telling her to leave him alone, stop bombarding me with messages, and then she would just continue doing it until he would answer. They said there was one point where she sent 90 text messages to him until he answered her.
Oh.
A point that Shayna had that the police uncovered throughout the investigation was the fact that Ryan was in the middle of a lawsuit with his ex-work partner and had actually shown some pretty aggressive signs of anger about it. She claimed in her interview, you know, he was in a lawsuit and it made him really scary. He was super aggressive and angry about it. And then in investigation, they found a couple messages on Facebook that Ryan had sent to people showing his frustration, not on Shayna, but on the situation with the work partner.
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely strange, talking about wanting to hurt the world for what's going on. But he never directed the anger towards Shayna in those messages. Upon investigating Ryan's house, where the apparent violent argument and struggle ensued, there were absolutely no signs of a fight ever taking place. The bookshelf that Shayna claimed that he threw her into in the middle of the fight that night was in perfect condition. There were actually bullets, like he had decorated the bookshelf with bullets standing up, and all of them were still standing up. If someone had even bumped that bookshelf, they would have knocked over.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Police had a hard time believing that she had been thrown around the condo before shooting him in self-defense due to the lack of physical evidence of that happening at the condo. Trial for the murder of Ryan Poston began in April of 2015. So this murder happened in 2012. And then the trial against her didn't happen until 2015, 2.5 years after Shayna had shot him 6 times at his home.
Kind of going back a little bit, but did the attorney ever show up in the interview?
No. No.
So what happened?
Because they had her, they read her Miranda rights and then just interviewed her because she just kept talking. Because
she just kept going. Okay.
Yeah. So she asked for, almost like she knew she was supposed to, but she couldn't not. Couldn't not tell them what happened.
No, that just came to my mind all of a sudden. I just remembered, wait, what happened to the
attorney? I guess I never even followed up.
What happened to the attorney?
So Shayna and the defense team at trial would stick to their claim of killing him in self-defense, while the prosecution would say that Shayna was obsessed with Ryan. And that night, when he tried to officially end it again and go on his date with Miss Ohio, she finally lost it, coming back to kill him the next night. Many people testified at trial. Shayna did not take the stand. A weird detail that came out at trial was that the night before the murder, when Shayna and Ryan got into the fight where he ended it, Shayna didn't actually leave his condo after he broke up with her. He instead went to bed and she went into his living room and called her mom, who drove all the way to Ryan's house in the middle of the night so that Shayna could be held by her. That's what the mom said. She said, oh, she just needed her mommy to come hold her feet.
Her mom said that.
Yeah.
And so she agreed to doing it.
Mm-hmm. Her mom throughout this whole thing claims that Shayna murdered him out of self-defense and he was completely abusive and Shayna's a little baby and she would never do anything and she's an angel.
Oh my god.
Still to this day, she claims that. It was a very, they never like came out in the interview. They never came out in any of the sources or the shows I watched saying like, this relationship between mom and Shayna's weird, but it was weird.
Yeah, it seems like it.
People were saying they've always been best friends. They were always just two peas in a pod. And you watching Shayna's mom, and I'm not taking away from the fact that this whole situation puts both sides of the families in very uncomfortable and hard situations.
Yeah.
But she was very, very, your textbook mom who doesn't believe that her kid does anything wrong.
So he didn't know that she didn't leave the apartment?
No. So the mom comes over, she holds Shayna's all night. What? And then when Ryan woke up that morning, he came out and found 21-year-old Shayna being held by her mom inside his condo. So her mom came into his condo in the middle of the night, and when he woke up, she was still in the condo.
And then that day, He was shot.
Yes. That night he got shot.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So Shayna admitted to the cops that she had to release the safety on the gun before she shot Ryan. And the cops took this as proof that the shooting was premeditated, because if she would have had to stop to think about it, like what she was doing, taking off the safety. I think this statement is weird, and maybe I'm understanding it wrong, but if it truly was self-defense, like we're not talking about Shayna and Ryan anymore. We're talking about a different situation. She would still need to shut the safety off to protect herself. She wouldn't stop just, I have to turn the safety off. I guess I'll just let this guy kill me. Like that doesn't really, that doesn't mean premeditation in my head.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it also depends what kind of gun she has. But
she had to flip it off on the side. Okay. It wasn't just the one where you have to hold it down.
Uh-huh. I mean, unless you're like, I could be totally wrong. This is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But unless you're very familiar with guns and know how they operate, it's usually not the first thing you think of. Like to react that fast gun, safety off, I'm ready to go.
Oh, because at trial, so I need to probably say this. At trial, they change her story. So you know how she was like, so the first time on the 911 operator call, she says he grabbed the gun and then I grabbed it and shot him. Second time, she says we were in the middle of arguing. He was calling me horrible things. I felt scared for my life. So I grabbed the gun off the table and shot him.
Got it.
At trial, they change the story again. Her side, her defense team changes it again and says, no, he was charging her. And so she grabbed the gun. So maybe that's what cops mean. She would have had to flip the safety off in time.
It would have been like she was trained and knew what she was doing. Because to do it that fast is pretty impressive.
I figured I misunderstood because I was like, you're literally discrediting any victim who's ever had to use something for self-defense. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So at trial, it comes out that before the shooting, Shayna had told her friends that Ryan was evil. And that she wishes that they would go to a shooting range on a date so that she could turn around and shoot him and play it like it's an accident. She said that to people.
Where were they living at again?
This is Kentucky.
Okay, so maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she was familiar with guns, but that's just...
I think she was because she went to shooting ranges all the time. She had pictures of shooting ranges on her social media.
I mean, I guess obviously she knew how to shoot him and she knew what she was doing, so...
Yeah. Forensics proved during trial that Shayna was lying about the first shot. So she says he was charging her and she shot him. They said this is inaccurate because the range that the bullet was held for entrance was at a down range, meaning that she had to have been over him and he was below her when the first shot was fired, almost like he was sitting at the table and she walked over and shot him in the head because it was angled down.
Oh.
Which wouldn't have been the case if he was charging her because he's taller than her.
Mm-hmm.
Shayna claimed in her police interview that she fired the last four shots into an almost already dead and helpless Ryan because she couldn't bear to watch him twitch. We kind of already talked about that. Some friends from prison said that Shayna... Okay, so she made friends in prison. Girlfriends. They came to the trial and testified against her. So apparently they weren't that good of friends.
Yeah.
They stated that Shayna had told them that she hadn't actually acted in self-defense that night, and that sometimes during their relationship she would give herself bruises and then walk over to the neighbor so that they would think that he was being abusive to her during their relationship. And this is important because neighbors came in and testified for her saying she had bruises and came over and told us he was abusive. But then her jailmates came in and said, she told us that she used to do that on purpose.
She's crazy.
They said that Shayna had found out about Ryan's date that night with Miss Ohio and lost it. It was her breaking point. It only took the jury an hour to come back with a guilty verdict in 2015, and Shayna was sentenced to 40 years for the murder of Ryan Poston. But wait, there's more. After her conviction, Shayna fell in love with Unique Taylor, who is a transgender man who was serving in the same place with her, and they get married in prison.
Okay.
But wait, there's more. In August of 2016, the original conviction was overturned because one of the jurors was a felon.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but how was it that juror's fault? Like how, because there was a...
Because he lied.
Oh.
He was a felon and lied about it.
So they just overturned the case?
Yep. That's what happens.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Because everyone has a right to a fair trial.
Oh, so it wasn't technically a fair trial.
Because he could have been swayed.
Okay, so what happened?
So after months of delays and figuring things out, a new trial began again against Shayna for the murder of Ryan. Everyone would have to go through a whole new trial again. And this is a big deal because his family finally got that justice and closed that part of this mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And then... it gets overturned by luck, not nothing to do with her. And then she's like, nope, I'm not going to plead guilty. I'm going to put everyone through another trial again. Mm. And I'm going to stick to my I'm innocent. The new trial began in August of 2018. So keep in mind, overturned recently. In 2016. I guess she put them through a whole bunch of delays. Like any chance she could get, she would delay.
Yeah.
Shayna testified at this trial. So at the first trial, she didn't. The second trial, she got on stand and testified. And I think this was the nail in the coffin because she has freaking diarrhea out the mouth. I kid you not. Everything that she did in her interview was just happened again at trial.
So what'd she say?
Just everything that she basically said in the interview. She just would go off, change her story. And then the same prosecution team was like, you've changed your story 3 times. And she was like, well.
I can imagine everyone just sitting there with their mouths open. Like, what is going on?
So she was convicted guilty once again. But this time, the jury sentenced her to life in prison.
Okay.
Which is way better than 40 years.
Yep.
Ryan's family wasn't surprised to hear the guilty verdict once again, especially after her testifying, but there were audible gasps, and you can hear it in the tapes, when life in prison was read. Because, you know, the first time she gets 40 years, and then she comes back thinking, oh, I was so lucky it got overturned. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get out. And instead of just getting put back in prison for 40 years, she gets put back in for life.
For life.
For having to go through everything all over again for their son, this was justice for Ryan's family. They do state that nothing will bring him back and that her sentence doesn't change the fact that he was taken away, but that civil justice is good.
Yeah.
And that's the story of Ryan Poston and Shayna Hubers.
It's so hard because when you were first telling the story, I was like, well, I mean, you can't just call a girl crazy. I mean, you can't call anyone crazy.
I feel that way too. That's why I wish they would have published.
Girl, some guy. Of it. I mean, you can't call someone crazy without knowing the details, but
yeah.
After those details.
And everyone has control over their own body and everyone has control over their own actions. But even in high school, I would see girls who these guys would drive them to crazy. They would drive them to mad. They would do horrible, manipulative, emotionally abusive things.
I think everyone has some sort of toxic or crazy relationship at some point.
Yeah. And then the girl would be pegged as crazy. And I'm like,
exactly.
That guy, like, I don't blame her. You know, it's like that Beyonce song where it's like, would I rather be crazy or something? And she's like, I'd rather be crazy.
But this whole new level. I mean, she was crazy.
This is not okay. What happened to Ryan was not okay.
No, that was completely different.
I'm not justifying anything that happened to him. Killing someone not in self-defense, because what I'm taking from this whole thing, and I'm going to have to take it because she was convicted guilty, is there was no fight. She came in, shot him while he was sitting down at a table. It was not self-defense.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have said she was crazy until she killed them. And now that's just not even that she killed them. All the police videos.
That is what did it for me.
I was like,
that's what did it for me too.
This girl's nuts.
I think before we see a lot of, it's not that rare to find a girl who's going to text a guy 90 times until he answers. It's honestly not that rare. What is rare is pretending that you're wailing and crying after you just killed someone. And then as soon as the cop walks out of the room, you're fine. That's what's rare.
Peyton doesn't text me 90 times. Don't worry.
No. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just kidding.
We're always together, so we never even text each other.
I know, we never even text. No, but I mean, like you said, everyone has that toxic relationship and... You know, people, love can drive people to do some weird things.
Oh man, she's crazy. It's crazy to me that she sat there too and was like, I did it. Oh my gosh.
Singing.
I need to show you. I should probably watch this. I don't know if I will, but.
Garrett doesn't want anything to do with these crimes after we've talked about them.
I just listened to the stories here.
The best part is when I post it finally on social media, he'll come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, that's what they looked like.
Oh yeah.
You never even go look it up after.
That's a good point.
As soon as I post it, you're like, wow, I can't believe they looked like that.
I also never re-listen to the podcast. Peyton and I were talking about that the other night because she re-listens and edits.
Yeah, I feel like I listen so much. And then I get in my friend, I have one friend who listens and we get in her car and it's playing. And that's what's weird is I don't really mind listening to my own voice when I'm editing, but then when I'm in front of people and they're listening to it, it gets a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Thank you, Kiana, if that's how I say it, for sending this in. It was an awesome case. Garrett, did you enjoy this case?
I did enjoy this case.
In a non-enjoyable way. Okay, guys. Well, that's the story of Ryan Poston. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.
welcome to the Code and Crime Academy. I'm John.
And I'm Jessica. Our podcast entails everything from the paranormal and mysterious to murdery and comedy.
You are looking to sit back, relax, and have a few laughs while learning something new. We are here to drag you through the depths of the world while leaving you hanging and thawing.
Come join us on your favorite platform to listen anytime. And for more information on upcoming shows and how you could be a part of our show,